Next Sunday, we'll be participating, Lord willing, in communion, so prepare your hearts for that, if you will, next Sunday morning. Well, we just ended a wonderful year, and I thank the Lord for Christmas time. I love Christmas time. I love all the lights, and the ladies did such a wonderful job, and Gary helping them. And it seems kind of empty up here a little bit now, doesn't it? The glory of light. Why do we like lights so much, by the way? Why do we like lights? Because lights are a picture of Christ in the darkness. It's a picture of the truth of God's word speaking, and there was light, let there be light. And the same thing happens spiritually whenever you trust Christ as your Savior. The light has shone in our hearts in the face of Jesus Christ, and the darkness has left us. So therefore, we're not underneath the rule of sin anymore. We're underneath the rule of Christ. And all God's people say, amen. Tonight, Psalm 29. I got a little bit of an echo, Ray. I'm not sure. Anybody hearing it?
Yes.
Okay. Edith says she hears it. Now that's a thing. That settles it. Don't worry, Edith. I only pick on my friends. Right, Gregory? The rest of you? Sorry. Don't know you that well. Can't joke with you because you might be offended. Those I joke with, I know the best. All right. Psalm 29. You know, when you have the Old Testament narratives like Ruth, is there a picture of Christ in the book of Ruth? Yes. Kinsman Redeemer. Little unusual for our culture. You know, you die. You don't have any children in... your brother marries your wife. How many of you are glad we're not signed up for that one anymore? And you raid up. Why? Because of the line of the Messiah. So you wanted to be obedient to that. And why would young girls not want to have physical relations until they were married in a physical relations? Everybody know what we're talking about? Okay, great. Why wouldn't they want to do that until they were married? Well, they might be the one on whom the Messiah would come. And they knew that Isaiah said a virgin would conceive. And, you know, as a young Jewish girl, it could be you. And one day it was. It was Mary. Wow. So the Lord has kept his word 700 years before that happened. We read that unto us a child is born unto us. A son is sent, given or sent from the Father, Jesus claimed. That he was sent from the Father. He claimed eternality. He claimed to exist before he came into humanity. And that's why some of the religious sects wanted to stone him to death, because they claimed he was blaspheming, making himself equal with God. Well, he wasn't blaspheming. He was just telling the truth. Amen. A voice in the thunder, Psalm 29. Well, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I was afraid of the thunder. Now, my wife says that her mom and them, I don't know what they would do, sit on the porch or something. It would thunder, you know, and go wave across those top of the mountains there in Tennessee. And, you know, you'd hear this, and the lightning would be... beautiful thing and all this. I didn't have that experience when I was a kid. I mean, when I when the lightning cracked where I grew up at the beach, if you were in the water and the lightning came, guess what you need to do? Get out of the water if you had any sense, or you might have an electrifying experience. That's the truth. And so a little different there. But this psalm is going to tell us about the power of God as demonstrated in the thunder. So we do need to teach our children that acts of nature aren't actually acts of nature. They're acts of God. That's a big difference. You know, you just get off. You know what, Colton? They try to get us off a little bit here and a little bit there. And before you know it, they start arguing about whether or not God's our creator. Right, Colton? I mean, this is what's happening. And you young guys know what's going on. And you got to stand up in your culture and say, no, God is the creator, right? That's one of the biggest things you have to stand up and say in our culture. We're going to see that some of that tonight here. In this psalm or song, which they are, we celebrate the strength of Jehovah God as demonstrated in thunder. Thunder and lightning. So a thunderstorm had started across the mountaintops in this song. David's writing about it. And you know, he would sometimes hide in the cleft of the rock till the storm passes by. Yeah, exactly. So this is one of those where you see the rain coming, you hear it afar off. I think that's beautiful, by the way. Sunshine on this side, dark rain clouds over here, and you see it coming across the valley. I just think that's one of the most beautiful times in nature. Yes, nature, but God's the one that's moving nature. We aren't deist. Deist would be those who believe that God created and then he just stepped back and let you run it. Boy, I'm glad I'm not a deist. I'm a one who's under the sovereignty of God. God rules and reigns, amen? Now, he's not literally sitting on the throne in Jerusalem, but he will one day, right? So, no, we believe in the deity, that God, Jesus is God, but we aren't deists. We don't believe God just created and backed off and let us run the show. No, we don't believe that. On the top of some of these mountains in Lebanon were great cedars, and all kind of storm couldn't bother them. But then the Lord would send certain very strong storms, and they would be such a wind and a lightning, a thunder, and one of these cedars would crack with that lightning. Anybody ever seen a tree cracked by lightning? I mean, it's quite a sight to see what can take place with this. But anyways, one of these cedars would crack, and as it fell down the mountain, it would hit the cliffs of other surrounding mountains, and it would just ping pong back and forth as it fell into the valley. Well, that's an important thing to remember, because this would show us here that that's exactly what God does. There was some philosophical stuff. You know, these guys ask questions. Why does it matter? You know, they're sitting in college studying philosophy, and we people get paid for this. And why does God allow a tree to fall in the forest where men have never been? Why does it matter? Well, God allows a tree to fall in the forest where men have never been because he's God. And he glories in his creation. That's why. God is God. And folks, he knows so much more than what we know. We just need to rely upon God. And so, Pastor Long, are you going to get into the storms of life by way of... Of course I am. Are you talking about the spiritual things going on in our lives? Absolutely. That's what these pictures are about. God's just not interested in us knowing about trees falling. He's interested in us listening to him. Now, if you've gone through a storm, or you are in a storm, or you're getting ready to go through a storm, I can tell you when the hearing becomes a lot clearer, when you're in the depth of the storm, you listen a lot better. Okay, Lord, I don't know what's going on here, but whatever you want to do, thy will be done. I'm tired of fighting it. I'm tired of talking about it. I don't have any power over it. And what I have had power, I've already exhausted it, so here I am. And it's just going to have to be your power that takes me through. Well, that's exactly where God wants us to be. He wants us to be depending on his power and not our own. Our strength, hey, you young guys, listen up. Your natural strength's going to start dwindling. But I'll give you this promise. As your days are, so shall thy strength be. In other words, God is going to allow you to accomplish what he wants to accomplish in your life right now, today, and he's going to give you that strength to get it accomplished. We're not talking about tomorrow. We're talking about strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, because when tomorrow gets here, you'll have strength for that day. So there's no use worrying about things in the future if God's the one who gives you strength day by day. Psalm 29. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. What's that mean? That means if I have any excellence in me and if I have any strength, the Lord gave it to me. Isn't that good? If you have any know-how, all wisdom comes from Christ. If you've learned how to do anything in any degree, it was a gift from God. Well, no, this guy taught me and I'm connected here. And yeah, I know. God knows all that. I was telling Stephen and Colton, I said, hey, listen, God knows what's going to take place in our future. He knows the people that we know. He can control all that too. So just rely upon the Lord. And as He will want us to step forward by faith, we want to honor the Lord and trust the Lord. So this psalm is meant to express the glory of God as it's heard in the pealing thunder. Pealing thunder. Man, I think something's coming, and all of a sudden, boom, 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 boom. And it's not the guy with the jukebox dragging under the... I've heard that happen before, too. I'm talking about when the thunder, you feel it on your skin. Now we're talking about anybody? No? I'm talking about when there's that sudden jolt, in your car when that thing hits. And then you see the flash, like, wow. Let's look at a few places. We'll come back to Psalm 29, but let's just look at Job, first of all. Job is where? Right before the book of Psalms. Made life easy on you, didn't I? Job 37. Anybody think Job had a few storms in his life, yes or no? So God was going to magnify himself through thunder. Job 37, 4 through 5. Elihu is giving Job counsel on the character of God. I think I'll just start in verse 1 and go to verse 5, okay? Job 37, verse 1. At this also was my heart trembled and is moved out of his place. That sounds like fear. Shaking in your boots. Heard attentively the noise of his voice and the sound that goeth out of his mouth. He directeth it under the whole heaven. And his what? Lightnings unto the ends of the earth. After it, a voice roareth. So what actually comes first? The thunder or the lightning? The lightning comes first. Cold meeting hot. And then the flash of those two forces meeting one another, creating a lightning bolt. See, I just explained it. We don't even need God, right? Natural causes. Now, how many of you guys remember Matt Smith? Matt and Amy Smith just come here. Matt said, I have this secret desire to be a weatherman one day. I said, okay, Matt. I said, what a cheesy job. I said, what do you mean? You stand up there and you say, partly cloudy, partly sunny, it could rain, it may snow, just give me the check. How many of you like that kind of broadcast? All right, we're not sure what will happen, but on to the next screen. I'm a very practical guy, very practical person. You know what I do? I mean, I look on my phone, okay, but you know what I usually do? I just look up in the sky. I'm only 8, 10, 12 blocks from the church, so I just look up at the sky. I try to wonder if I can beat the rain and stuff like this, I'm coming in. Those are my challenges. Sometimes it's bad, and we do cancel services on occasion for your safety. For your safety is the heart of it. I'd hate for someone to fall and get themselves hurt, but rarely has that happened too often at church, so we remember that. But who's in control of that, by the way? The Lord is. Here, he's talking about this thunder as it, just the broadcast of it, if you will, like a lion that roars, verse 4. After it, a voice roareth, he thundereth with the voice of his excellency. He will not stay them when his voice is heard. God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend. Verse 6, for he saith to the snow, be thou on the earth, likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of his strength. So who's in control of the weather? It's not Al Gore, I can promise you that. Aren't you so thankful for that? How many of you don't have a clue what I'm talking about? Okay, great, let's just go right on. I'll spare you. You remember when they thought, when they realized that Jesus was God by when he said to the storm, peace be still, in John 12. And in Revelation 14, let's just look at that one. We'll come back to Psalm 29. Revelation 14. We'll come back to Psalm 29 because we're going to stay there the rest of the time, I do believe. Revelation 14 and verse 2. Revelation 14 and verse 2. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, as the voice of a great what? Thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. Don't you love that? Don't try to say that too fast. Revelation 19 and verse 6. So I just want to show you that this thunder is the power of God displayed, and it pictures something that happens when it's voiced. There's a power it's talking about. Revelation 9 and verse 6. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that hear him, both small and great. And verse 6. And as I heard it were the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and as a voice of mighty thundering, saying, alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And it's said with power. And it shakes you down to your boots. And you're listening when thunder comes into your life. Now, what is it a picture of? It's a picture of the power of God. You know, there's so many voices and so much noise going on in society, and particularly with phones today. And by the way, I like that. You know that screen we got out there now? Please silence your cell phone. So power it down if need be, you know. You know, my kids have these cell phones, and they hardly ever answer my phone when I call them. I don't know what's causing me. It's crazy, but anyways, if I yell at them, they hear that better, you know. The powerful sound of thunder moving across the plain is a metaphoric picturing the powerful picture of God's Word as it works in men's hearts. That's what it pictures. God's Word. As the light pierces the darkness, you'll have the thunder and you'll have the lightning. There's two guys called Sons of Thunder. As they preached the word of God. That means they were bringing the light into the darkness. Who were they? James and John. The sons of thunder. That means they were preaching the word of God. Awesome, right? Now there's no such thing. We're back to Psalm 29 now. There's no such thing as natural causes, as men call it. It's actually God in action, as we mentioned. We must ascribe thunder and lightning to his power. He places the thunder and the lightning. He places where they hit. In Psalm 19, we're talking about God being glorified in nature. We're not going to go there tonight. But God is to be glorified through his nature. We're supposed to look to God through nature. We see God and his handiwork. And so the so-called way of expressing how someone dies, how did he die? Well, he died of natural causes. Oh, next time somebody says that, say, excuse me. He actually died because it was his appointment. That's different, isn't it? He died because it was God's appointed time for him to die. See how you go back to God on everything? Hebrews 9:27 goes right into evangelism. As it is appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. So God is to be seen through his creation. Verse 2 is in Psalm 29. Let me just read verse 1 again. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Nothing so beautiful of the uniqueness of God. Holiness means unique. And when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, he was saying, unique, unique, unique. There's nobody like you, O God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. That's right. Nothing so beautiful as the holiness of our God. It's all he is. It's not attribute as holiness like some teach. Here's his holiness, then here's his love. And his no, holiness is the whole thing. Holiness is everything that God is. And that we're not. That's holiness. And there are communicable attributes of God. For instance, I showed this in my Sunday school class. What are some of those that are non-communicative? Well, I can't be in every place at once. Amen? Yeah. How about you? No? But can you love wherever you are? Well, that's a communicable attribute of God. You can love because God is love. But I can't be everywhere, and you can't be everywhere as God is. There are some of those we can't do. Those are non-communicative attributes of God. Here is one of them, that God is in control of nature. Oh, yeah. Didn't I mention this already? I just love this. I text this to my family. They were just having smiling, laughing, you know. What do you call those things? Emojis or whatever they are, you know. All this good stuff, you know. Thumbs up, big smiles, you know, the tears coming out, all this stuff. One guy with the mouth open, you know, all this stuff. It just, you know how it goes. I'm starting to use those a lot more instead of talking. But anyways, where was I going with this point? Oh, yeah. I said that they're talking about, if, you know, I shared this with you, if you're voting politically based upon global climate change and all this foolishness, remember this. We couldn't destroy the earth if we tried. There's 1,007 years on the planet left, according to my Bible, at least 1,007 years left before the new heaven and the new earth. I mean, that's going to be here long after I'm gone. Yes or no? Okay, just letting you know. So go right into evangelism with that. So that is part of giving the Lord beauty of his holiness, is he is creator. And thunder is just one avenue that we are to see him. And, oh, by the way, since God is the creator of all, he should be worshipped by all. And that, of course, is Revelation 4:11 and Revelation 5:12. Since God is the creator of all, he should be worshipped by all. Now look at verses 3 and 4. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters, the God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. So, often when lightning, I noticed some of these guys out on ships and things, they would have the masts and things, and often lightning would get close to hitting that mast. It was like a lightning rod. And lightning would land on these ships at times. So who's in control of the winds and the waves and the ships and the lightning? They knew it. How about Job? Somebody has offended their God, or this wouldn't be happening. I mean, they knew something wasn't going on right, and who was it? And Jonah, excuse me, I said Job. I said Jonah. Jonah said, well, you know, it's me. I thought I'd run from the presence of the Lord. Isn't that a good one? I thought I'd run from the Lord. He had a will for me to go over and preach to these people. They're probably going to get saved, but they were fighting against our, you know, our family in the past, and they were slaughtering us, and I wouldn't care if all of them go to hell, please. That was his attitude. Yes or no? So I'm going, you want me to do that? Go witness? No, I'm going over here. And God said, okay, I got a little discipline for you. I'm going to stir up the waters for you. The waters are a picture of trouble coming out. We'll stir the waters up a little bit for you. So, you know, what's the problem? I'm the problem. I'm not doing God's will. Okay, but if you throw me overboard, that'll settle it for you guys. You know what? Those guys, they had to, as soon as they threw old Jonah overboard, guess what happened? Peace. Be still. And they immediately said, oh, the God of whoever, whatever his God is, please. That's the one. The one moving in nature. Yeah, but God had a big whale seminary for Jonah, right? Taught him biblical education real fast about being an instrument used of God. God will get us to the place where we surrender and just let him have his way with us, like this morning's message. Nothing better than doing the will of God. Even if you have troubles in life, which you will, there's still nothing better than doing the will of God. In verses 5 and 6, we see the voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Remember the cedars up on top of the mountains? Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. So that's the exact place they were breaking. And you can see this tree fallen, as I mentioned. And then in verse 6, he maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sirion, like a young unicorn. These are, of course, the rams that would jump. Have you ever seen those mountain goats, by the way? They jump up on these scaly, hard for humans to ever think about. They jump. And you're thinking, man, there's 200 feet down here. One little slip and it's all she wrote, as they say. I saw one on YouTube, you know, checking this out. They said, look at this ram, and he's climbing up a dam. And it is like just a little half inch of, you know, movement on these bricks that they lay up, or whatever it was, the concrete. And he's just jumping up them like nothing, you know. Let me tell you, that's a picture of God. That's what you're supposed to see with that. So though he has the power on one hand to split trees and cause these things to fall, on the same mountain, he can bring life. Some of the ledges on that mountain, those mountaintops, no human could stand. You can't stand on them humanly, put it that way. And no Spider-Man couldn't do it either. You had some nice ropes you could climb. These guys are trained, I understand that. But folks, naturally speaking, we couldn't do it. You'd have to have the help of some of those things. But God puts it in these animals naturally. It's their kind to be able to do that. In verse 9, the voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf. This is given life. And covereth the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. Now we've got mountains, we've got trees falling, we've got lightning, we've got thunder, we've got animals bringing forth animals in the same place. David's just writing all this down. The voice of the Lord. Lord, what are you saying to me? He's writing it all down. Verse 10. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth King forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. So folks, I got to tell you, there's one verse I skipped here. Might have been a couple, but I skipped it for a reason. I skipped it for a reason because I'm just stupid and forgot it. How's that? Is that a good... Just trying to get your attention tonight. I know they'll just bring it home like this. Jeannie, you like that. And it was very good. Very honest. Verse 7. How many of you picked up verse 7? Now this is powerful. This is powerful. All joking aside. Remember the thunder? Remember the lightning? Remember the animals? Life coming forth? What is the thunder representing? The voice of God. It's a picture in the physical realm of what God can do in the spiritual realm, and here it is. verse 7 is the heart of it, I believe. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. What has that got to do with the rest of the stuff? Well, it's a picture of the Word of God as it goes forth. And as you know, Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is quick. It means it's alive. It's powerful. There's our idea. And sharper than any two-edged sword. Listen to this. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What is that a picture of? That's a picture of the Word of God burning in our heart. Amen. See these young fellows every now and then. I don't know if I want to do the will of God or not. Young ladies, I don't know if I'm going to do the will of God or not. And then Jeremiah, hey, I don't know. You know what? I've had it. I'm not preaching anymore. It's not going the way I'd hope it would go. And then he just closed the word. And as he was sitting in his house by the fire. One of these days I'm going to have a fireplace, you know. One of these days I'm going to have a fire. As he was sitting by the fireplace, he noticed the fire, you know, and he was looking at that fire and just contemplating, and something else began to burn. What do you think it was? I said, I'm not going to preach the Word of God anymore. But then God began to warm that cold heart. And he said, your word was like a fire burning in my soul, and I had to preach it. If you have to preach it, that's a call of God. If you got to preach it, it's a call of God. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. When is man more willing to listen than not? When he's in a storm. When the thunder's there and the lightning's going, he's cracking of the lightning bolts. What is a flame a picture of? It's a picture of Pentecost. When there was that fire that appeared. Get it now? The fire appeared and then it was divided and it landed on the heads of all those preaching the gospel. And that's how they got the name Liberty University, the Flames. So, are we going to be a light in the darkness? We are a light in the darkness whether we want to be or not, whether we realize it or not, excuse me. And there will be a time in our heart, you'll notice it sporadically, maybe not always, but sporadically, if we just say, I'm tired of talking about the things of God to so-and-so or whoever, you know what's going to happen? Eventually, it's going to start burning again. And before you know it, you've opened up the Word of God and you let the fire fall. Because, folks, the only thing that's going to purify our lives is the fire of God's holy Word. That's what purifies us. And it just purifies the dross in our lives. Instead of running from God in our storm and our fire when the lightning bolts are falling, we need to be still and know that it is God. Amen. Psalm 46. So when God speaks, let him have his way with us. The Lord promised the power would be upon us in Acts chapter 1, and the power is going to be on every believer. The moment they trust Christ as their Savior, they have the anointing, they have the power. You have all the power Christ wants you to have because all the power is in him. Let me say that again. You have all the power God wants you to have because all the power is in him. That's Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So, there's no time for quitting. There's no time for closing the Bible. There's no time for doing it in our own natural strength. We need to get strength from God. A surpassing strength in our weakness, his strength will be seen. I love verse 11 here in this song, Psalm 29. The Lord will give strength unto his people. That's a promise. The Lord will bless his people with what? Peace. Hey, you know you can't buy peace. You know, I have some honest confessions every now and then. Anytime I say something like this, my wife goes, what's he going to say now? Okay. What's he going to say now? Okay, it's okay, be calm. So, you remember when I was preaching a message and a topic came around peace or something. And I said, folks, I was very energetic, you know, enthusiastic. And I said, folks, I wouldn't want to sell my peace for $1 million. You remember that? Just thunder. I wouldn't want to sell my peace for $1 million. And that was on Sunday, you know, and I was flying high on the glories of God and taking His strength and everything. About Monday, I was real tired. I went down here, you know, to try to get some books from the library or something. And I parked a little longer than what the coin was, you know. And I came out, and I had a ticket. And I think it was $3. And I said, what is this? I'll talk about an injustice. Why don't you police? You love this, don't you, Gary? Why don't you police officers instead? Why don't you get some people, real criminals around here? Stop wasting my time. You know, all this stuff goes through, right? Oh, I guess that's just on TV. No, that's you. And so the Lord reminded me, oh, yeah, so here you were flying high on Sunday. I wouldn't sell my piece for $1 million. You gave it away for $3. Now, can we get a good witness? But the Lord gives us peace. I'm so glad the Lord returns peace. We'll close with this, Isaiah 32. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Isaiah. The longer writings are called what prophets? Major prophets. The shorter writings like Jonah and Joel are called what? Minor prophets, cause they're shorter writings. The length of the book determines whether they're a major or a minor prophet. Has nothing to do with stature or length of service. So Isaiah 32. And we'll look at verse 2 first of all. Isaiah 32 and verse 2. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. I already sang that one, so I'll spare you the second hymn, right? The second stanza. Who's the rock in the weary land? Jesus is. Who's our place of refuge, a place of safety that we can go, the covert place, go and hide? Jesus is. And then look at verses 15 through 20, Isaiah 32:15. Until the Spirit be poured out upon us from on high, there's Acts 1:8 right there, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. You know, people who don't want war, who want peace with one another, the effect of that is quietness in their soul, even in the storm. I have no desire to fight against you. I told this to a guy, you know, one of these guys on the basketball, militant Muslim, put that way, in jail for selling drugs, got a box on his ankle, playing basketball. And that, I'll just share you what happened. Now, I'm for peace, but he's for war. So I've been giving the gospel, you know, every time we have a game, I would give the gospel before the game. And this guy, you know, he's one of the guys, they won the game, and he doesn't want to take any pictures. He didn't want any pictures of him inside. You know, a little sketchy. But anyways, I know who he is, and law enforcement knows who he is too. On the wrong side of the law, I should say. And I have been nothing but trying to be kind to him. He's actually a semi-pro basketball player for Philadelphia for a while, Sixers. But anyways, good, in other words. And probably 30 years old, so by now. And he said, you know, Pastor Long, I think that you're a cheater. So here I am, you know, and all the guys, and we're actually, he's on the foul line, And we're all standing. I'm one guy here, and I'm standing here. And on the other side of the lane, one, two, three, you know, there he is. Taking, he said, Pastor Long, you're a cheater. I said, okay. I said, what is it? Now, I didn't know this wasn't the wisest thing because I do things openly, and I don't think that some people might view it the wrong way. So before the game, we're all standing out there, and I give them the gospel to everyone. And it's the Muslim team. They're in first place, and we're in second. And so this is the championship game. And so what did I do? I said, we're going to give the referees a bonus tonight. So I gave them $20 each. And the whole night, this guy said, you are, you paid the ref off right in front of our face. So that kind of hurt my evangelism that night. You know, I'll get cussed out the whole night. I said, wait, you're not supposed to be cussing. Well, yeah, you're cheating. You paid the refs off. Like, we pay the refs every game. Very interesting. So I have no desire to fight against him. I have a desire to fight for his soul. Now, here's an illustration. You remember when one of our missionaries came, and I'm not going to say who he is, and he brought his son, who's a Jew. Okay, we all together? Most of us are. And while he was at a certain place in a bomb shelter in Jerusalem as a student with other Jews, but he's a believer in Christ, so he's a messianic Jew, right? A completed Jew, we would say. Yes or no? Okay. He's in there. And while they're in this bomb shelter, just over there, you know, as a student, there, some of them are starting to curse the Arabs, dropping and the Muslims dropping these bombs. And you know what he has to do? He has to show these other Jewish people that he doesn't hate his enemies. He's praying for their salvation. Now, that guy's a long way ahead of me. But he's right. God will give you such a grace that you'll begin to pray for your enemy's salvation. Now that's a work of grace. That's the power of God. That's the thunder. That's the lightning. That's the light and the darkness. Look at verse 18 then, Isaiah 32. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation. Boy, that's coming. And in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. This is a picture of the millennial reign as well. And when it shall hail, coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place, blessed are ye. Wait a minute, right in the middle of the storm? Yep. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth hither the feet of the ox and the ass. What does that mean? That means sending forth the word of God and doing the work of God no matter what's going on in the culture around you, no matter what's falling around you, no matter what fears assail you, you have the power of the word of God. You're blessed if you'll sow the seed of God's word beside all waters. Father, thank you so much. Your voice thundereth. And next time we experience the thunder and the lightning, may we remember John and James, the sons of thunder. May I be a son of thunder too. And speak the word in love, in truth, in the darkness. Let it thunder. Let it crack the hearts of those who are lost in their sins. And may they see Jesus dwelling within. We're not fighting against their souls. We're fighting for them. All God's people say. Amen. Amen. God bless you, and you're dismissed.